against one-sided teaching. By nature, all of us are prone to run to extremes, particularly so those with a philosophical turn of mind, who, seeking for unity of thought, are in great danger of forcing a unity into the sphere of their limited knowledge. To do this, they are very apt to sacrifice one side or element of the truth for another. I may be quite clear and logical at the expense of being superficial and half-orbed. A most solemn warning against this danger was supplied by the Jews in connection with their interpretation of the messianic prophecies by dwelling exclusively upon those which announced the glories of Christ and neglecting those which foretold his sufferings, so that even the apostles themselves were evilly affected thereby and rebuked by Christ for such a folly. Luke 24:25-26. It is at this very point that the people of God, and particularly his ministers, need to be much on their guard. Truth is twofold, Hebrews 4:12. Every doctrine has its corresponding and supplementary element, every privilege its implied obligation. Those two sides of the truth do not cross each other, but run parallel with one another. They are not contradictory, but complementary, and both must be held fast by us if we are to be kept from serious error. Thus, we must never allow the grand truth of God's sovereignty to crowd out the fact of human responsibility. The will of the Almighty is indeed invincible, but that does not mean that we are nothing better than inanimate puppets. No, we are moral agents as well as rational creatures, and throughout are dealt with by God as such. It must needs be that offenses come, said Christ, but he at once added, woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Matthew 18:7. There the two things are joined together, the infallible certainty of the divine decrees, the culpability and criminality of the human agent. The same insufferable conjunction appears again in that statement concerning the death of Christ, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Acts 2:23. Again, our zeal for the doctrine of election must not suffer us to ignore the necessity of using means. They who reason, if I be elected, I shall be saved, whether or not I repent and trust in Christ, are fatally deceiving themselves. Chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, is proof. None are ever saved until they believe. Luke 8:12, Hebrews 10:39. And therefore all are to be exhorted to do so. Particular redemption, Christ making atonement for the sins of his own people only, must not prevent his servants from preaching the gospel to every creature and announcing that there is a Savior for every sinner out of hell who appropriates him for his own. Sunder not the two halves of John 6:37. All that the Father gives Christ shall come to him, albeit the individual must seek him. Isaiah 55:6, Jeremiah 39:13. Nor does the inability of the natural man annul his accountability, for though no man can come to Christ except the Father draw him, John 6:44, his refusal to come is highly blameworthy, Proverbs 1:24-31, John 5:40. Nor is a divided Christ to be presented to sinners for their acceptance. It is a delusion to imagine that his priestly sacrifice may be received while his kingly rule is refused, that his blood will save me, though I despise his government. Christ is both Lord and Savior, and in that unalterable order, 2 Peter 1:11, 3, 2, and 18. For we must throw down the weapons of our warfare against him and take his yoke upon us in order to find rest unto our souls. Thus repentance and the faith are equally necessary. Mark 1:15, Acts 20:21. While justification and sanctification are to be sharply distinguished, nevertheless they must not be divorced. 1 Corinthians 1:36, 11. Christ never comes into the soul unattended. He brings the Holy Spirit with him, and the Spirit his train of gifts and graces. Christ comes with a blessing in each hand, forgiveness in one, holiness in the other. Thomas Adams, 1615. Yet how rarely is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 completed by the quoting of verse 10. Again, the twin truths of divine preservation and Christian perseverance must not be parted, for the former is accomplished via the latter, and not without it. We are indeed kept by the power of God, yet through faith. 1 Peter 1:5. And if in 1 John 2:27 the apostle assured the saints, "Ye shall abide in him," in the very next verse he called on them to abide in him, as Paul also bade such to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, and then added, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Philippians 2:13. Balaam wished to die the death of the righteous, but was not willing to live the life of the righteous. Means and ends are not to be separated. We shall never reach heaven unless we continue in the only way, the narrow one, which leads thereto. March 1951.